you know, when Anna shared what Brian shared last week, take your coats off. Be intentional. In other words, if you are going to allow God to speak to you in this moment, you've got to be in the room. You can't be thinking about Bolton Wanderers who are playing in a bit. You can't be thinking about the roast that you're going to have. Brian finished last week by saying God wants to breathe life into you. And his heart is to spend time with us. We're going to watch the screens and the scripture from Ezekiel is going to be read over us. The Valley of Dry Bones. Just watch your screens and listen. Thank you.
The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord."
Thanks, Dan, for putting that together. Who remembers the cultural song that was talking about dry bones? Them bones, them bones, them. The toe bones connected to the foot bone. Think about it. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. Then it says, "Now shake them skeleton bones." Just let me preference the scripture you've just heard and seen. So Ezekiel 37 is saying this: there's a valley of dry bones. I want you to picture that. And then God says those bones are going to be brought back to life. That in the time was symbolizing the restoration of Israel. Ezekiel is a prophet in those days. And he showed this valley filled with dry, scattered bones. I don't think you've ever been to the Sahara Desert or a desert place, and when it's dry and there's no water, it's parched, there's no life. Ezekiel, the prophet, is shown this valley. God asks Ezekiel if these bones can live. And Ezekiel replies, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then God commands Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones and speak to them. And just imagine and seeing that picture, they reassemble the flesh and the skin and the life comes back in. Finally, God commands to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, and the bones come to life and stand up as a vast army. It reminds me of Jason and the Argonauts. Has anyone ever seen that? The older generation have. For us today, dry bones, think about yourself. It can describe us as someone who's living in despair, hopelessness, a feeling of spiritually dead. There's a Hebrew word for that, ruach, or ruach. You've got to say it with Scottish accent. Say it with me, ruach. Say it like you mean it. Oh, you're all the Scots out there. If Malcolm was here, I'd get him up saying it, but we couldn't understand what he's saying, so I won't do that. The word ruach means this: spirit, wind, or breath. So it encompasses both the physical and the spiritual. It can refer to the literal breath of God. George has shared last week in creation, the breath of God forming us from the dust of the earth and creating us as human beings. In Genesis 7:22, it says that he gives life to both humans and animals. Physical wind, the ruach, can refer to the literal wind found in Exodus as the east wind that drove away the locusts. Divine spirit, Holy Spirit. Most significantly for us today, the ruach can refer to his divine presence and power. As in Psalm 51:13, where it speaks of not taking God's ruach, Holy Spirit, away. In essence, ruach in the Bible is a versatile meaning. It connects our physical with the phenomenon of the spiritual. It's intangible. It's a concept of both spirit, human and divine. No, recently God reminded me of my journey as a Christian, filling me afresh in the ruach, the moving in my heart and mind that only God can do. You know, for those who know me, you can say, Cookie, I've heard that story before, but I've got a testimony in what God has done in my life, and so have you. And I'm going to share one or two of those stories. My hope is that you'll be stirred today, and all those watching on will be stirred to receive God afresh by his breath and his spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are you open to receive what God's got for you today? Are you ready to receive a new breath of the ruach of God in your life? When I arrived at church as a 17-year-old, I knew nothing about the Bible and God. Nothing. And perhaps that's you today. You are a bit bemused with all that's going on. For me, attending 40 plus years ago, I observed the worship that we'd just been singing. I thought, oh, it's different. I observed and sat through an hour's through ministry. I thought, oh, don't get much of that. Didn't really know what was going on. You might have grown up in church and you come anaesthetized to church life. It's a bit boring. I've heard it all before. I've seen it all before and I've done it all. So for me, imagine me as that young man attending church in the presence of all the people raising their hands. My mind was blown, or as our niece says, my head's fallen off. That is a saying apparently these days. Have you ever heard of that? All young people and old people say no. My head's fallen off. You know, I'm the sort of person who gives 100% to everything I set my heart and mind to. So becoming a Christian at that age wasn't on my radar at all. I wasn't willing to give my all, my 100% to God. I was having too much of a good time. I was racing my motorbikes and going out with my mates and generally just loving life. I wasn't ready to become a member of the God squad, as we know them back in those days. How many of you know that God has a plan for your life, even when you say, I don't need you, God? I, over a period of time, started to fall in love with this Jesus that we sing about and we talk about. His love overwhelmed me. I couldn't quite grasp this Jesus who came to earth and died on the cross for my sins. I just couldn't quite get my head around that. But one day, as some of you know, I was racing up in Carnforth, up near the lakes, and I'm on my motocross bike, and there's 35 other blokes ready for the gates to go down to race. And I simply said, God, if you're real, I want to accept you in my life. I didn't say the words, I want to become a disciple of you, but I did in my heart say, I want to be 100% committed to you. You know, my childlike faith, and remember this, a childlike faith was activated, a journey of acceptance, and my love for Christ was ignited. My enthusiasm for sharing God, no bounds. A childlike faith is what God desires of us today. You know, we should always seek more wisdom and ask God for wisdom. We all should seek to read the Word of God and understand the Word of God and mature in that. But I love what Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 18 and verse 2 to 4. Jesus says this to us, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter his kingdom or the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Question, do you still have that childlike faith? Or have you become a bit cynical or cold towards how you act and how you receive things from God? Do you actually say to yourself, "Well, that's for them, it's not for me. I've got it all together, or I'll sort my own life out." When Brian shared that prophetic word, it was for last week, but it's for this week. Take your clothes off. He didn't say take your clothes off, take your coat off. Are you listening now, aren't you? No, I won't do that, you're all right. Take your coat off. In other words, spend time with me. Cynical. If God has filled us, he directs our path. Why do we lose that love and that passion? Or why do we become so stale that we have that element of, "I don't even know, I'll go to church today. I can't be bothered. I've got other things in my life." Anna shared before about scrolling and, you know, just taking our time up with things that really don't matter. I've seen people put things on social media and their lives look so perfect, picture perfect. But I know those families behind the scenes and they're not picture perfect. They're going through life and the challenges of life. We have this utopian thought that, oh, if we could only have that, the next holiday that we have, the next thing that's going to happen in our lives. You know, the moment I accepted Christ into my life, I aligned my body, soul and mind to Christ. I did become a new creation. The inner parts of me became alive to the kingdom of God. But I've got to say, the battle between the flesh and the spirit always goes on, because that's what the Word of God says. You never just give your life to God and everything's fine. Everything is going to be fine. The flesh wars against the spirit. What we want to do, we don't do. And what we do, we're not happy sometimes. We keep coming back to God and saying, "God, will you help me in this area?" Recently, again, me sharing this morning, I was reminded of how God moved in my life, anointed me in that time when I was a young man. You have a story about when you accepted Jesus in your life, if you've accepted Jesus in your life. Just think back to that moment. Where were you? What were you doing? For me, I was on a motocross start line. For you, you could have been at home. You might have been in church. But God says, it doesn't matter where you are, but what matters is that you give yourself over to me. Jesus states emphatically to this, that he has no equal. He states to us, there's no higher authority, and Jesus is the only way to heaven. I said it over Bill's life, and Bobby's here with us again this morning. When I said the words, there's one way to the Father in heaven, and that's through Jesus. Ruach, Jesus with a fire in his heart and filled by the Spirit of God, proclaims his mission on earth in Luke 4, 18, declaring, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," that same Spirit that's here today and in you, "because he has anointed me to" what? "To proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus is filled by the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. Think about yourselves. "Because he has anointed me, he set me apart for such a time as now for a purpose in God. He set me apart to proclaim the good news to the poor, a message of salvation and God's love for those who are marginalized and in need. He set me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to speak spiritual freedom from sin and bondage, physical freedom and from oppression, and recovery from sight to the blind." That's spiritual enlightenment, but it's also physical healing. How many of you need physical healing? How many of you have been putting up with what you're going through and saying that's the way it is? Set the oppressed free. Liberation, both physical and spiritual. The Ruach, the breath of God breathed into Jesus. For me personally, I received the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, in a childlike way. A few years after me asking Jesus into my life, I'm just cracking on with my life. I'm just enjoying becoming that new creation. I'm getting a lot of things wrong as well as some things right, but that's fine. Because Jesus, when he leads us, he doesn't put an arm up our back and say, you've got to do this. He gives us a free will to do whatever we want. But he has the best intentions and the best heart for us. And he would say to you, have you received the fullness of me today? Have you received the Holy Spirit in your own lives? You know, when we talk at Pentecost Sunday from Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, they were filled, all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So I am there as this young man and getting about my days. And some of you know the story, but listen, I was just doing the normal stuff in life. And that can be college, it can be work, it can be home watching your TV, it can be doing the washing up, it could be going to the local store, it can be doing whatever you do in your day to day. But I am there wanting all that God's got for me. I'm not in a church meeting, I'm not singing praises to God, I'm just doing the normal things that God is asking me to do at that time. And all I'm doing is, because we manufactured ceramics, I'm putting ceramics, pottery into a kiln that we'd made the week previous. So you can see the picture. All of a sudden, I'm going to say this in the way that I can describe it. Something of the atmosphere changed. I'm just getting about my day. I'm just doing the normal things. And the Spirit, the breath of God started to envelope around me. I felt this heaviness that I can only describe as something that was so beautiful that I didn't want to leave that moment. And as I was filled by God's Spirit, just accepting it as a child, the atmosphere not only changed, it became somewhere that elevated me to a new place. I felt the presence of God in a way that I've never felt it before. And it just, in that moment, I was bathed in his love that was so deep, so profound. God rushing through my veins and my sinews and everything in my being. God created me and he was breathing once more into me. And as I was in that moment and not wanting to leave that moment, I then started to try to speak in what I would call my English language, but I couldn't. I could only speak in another language, and that was the language that God gives us called tongues. And that is a language that is between me and God. And I could only utter words that God had given me in that moment between me and God. And for the next 2 days, my only audible words that come out of my mouth was my tongue that God had given me. Even if I tried to speak in English, I couldn't. Back in those days, we would attend church and people would come out for prayer and be caught and be slain in the Spirit. Now that has become, if you're not careful, something of the past and something that people look on, you know, with a bit of concern. You know, last week when I was at Horwich, I prayed over someone. Someone went in the Spirit. In other words, they were overcome with this presence of God. And we weren't prepared. There was no one behind this lady as I prayed. And I'm saying this morning, we've got to be prepared to receive all that God's got for us. I've got the anointing oil down at the front here to pray over people. I've got the sense of God doing a new thing in our lives. But do you want to receive it as a child? The Ruach, the breath of God, the voice of God, also guided me in those days and continues to guide me. So I am not a professional Christian. Never will I be. I'm someone who is immature at times because I'm a child of God. Is anyone else immature? Some of you are. I act like a child. Yes, thank you, Kathleen. I act like a child. Anna says, you're a big kid. I said, good. But one of the things that I did, I was eager to receive all that God had got for me. So I'm getting about my day today, my business, and I'm driving to somewhere to pick up some stuff or to meet a client, to do whatever. And I hear an audible voice that I'm starting to understand is God speaking to me. You know, when you say an audible voice, does God speak to you? It's sometimes just that gut feeling that God is speaking to you. And it can be that you need to text someone or phone someone and encourage someone. And that person on the other side of that text or the phone call says, you won't believe it, but I needed to hear that. That is God speaking to you. Well, on this occasion, I'm driving and I'm doing it, and I felt this come over me to say, get off the motorway, go up the slip road. And I'm thinking, that's nonsense. I'm cracking on to where I'm going. Why would I come off at this slip road? But the compulsion was so great, and my childlike faith was where it was. I just come off at the slip road. Now, a bit later in the day, I heard of multiple pile-up on the same stretch of motorway I was on and multiple fatalities. You know, we've got to listen to God's word. We've got to act in God's word. We've got to be that people again who say, God, I am here. I've been cynical. I've started to not listen to that still small voice. I've started to do things on my own strength. I'm not giving all of me to you. I've not taught me caught off and listened to your impulse to do or act in this way anymore. God's breath can be literal. Every time we inhale, I want to suggest to you that is God's provision for us this day. Don't take things for granted. You woke up this morning. It says in Psalms, rejoice and be glad. Today, you've been given another day. We need to get hold of our day with all that God's got. Perhaps the company you're keeping, all you do is talk about the negative things that are going on rather than the positive things. I can do all things through who? Christ. Whether you acknowledge it or not, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, is why we're here today. Because God loves us so much. He breathed life into us. He died for us and rose again. I could share about my healing from MS and about the difficulties. And I know some, I've shared this before, are going through real challenging times with the things that have been put over your lives. I could talk about the 15 years of me living with an illness that I'm asking God for daily from a miracle working God that we sing about, but it wasn't happening. But then God has a way that's not my way, and he still had a job for me to do because that's the God I serve. Some of you have got a name over your illness and you're living in that illness. I'm saying to you, don't live in that. Live in the freedom of what God says. I can do all things through Christ. The anointing oil is not there. Oh, it's a nice thing to do. Let's put a drop of oil on your head and you'll be fine. It's just said, this is what the word of God says. Call on the elders, anoint with oil and believe. Childlike faith. Do you know, in the breath of God, sometimes that we take for granted, I mean, just the breath that we're breathing now, there's a young man going to share his story on our screens. It's actually Connor who's playing guitar this morning. Now, he's going to mention drowning, so anyone who's sensitive to that, you might have situations you're aware of or family been, you know, you can either leave when this is shared if it causes you too much heartache. But Connor is going to share his story. So let's just watch the screens. It's only for a couple of minutes.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Connor. When I was 7, I was playing near the River Tongue with some friends, and I fell in. I was at the bottom of the riverbed for 20 minutes, and I drowned. When the fire brigade pulled me out, I had no pulse. I was unresponsive. I was dead. They performed CPR, chest compressions, and mouth-to-mouth, and I needed that breath to give me life, I suppose. And I was very much dead, but as you can see, I'm definitely alive right now. My dad told the newspapers that it was a miracle and I must have had a guardian angel looking over me. And I didn't know it then, but now that I'm a Christian, I know that it was God. I literally had life breathed into me then. And I still have life breathed into me every day now. Praise God.
The band would like to come up. Thank you. Come on, Connor. Do you know that young man that you just heard of, Connor, who's playing? He wasn't attending church. He just lived down the road there. He started coming to the Bridge Youth a bit later in his life. The fire person breathed the breath that I'm talking about into his lungs, the ruach. And Connor, who was defenseless and not able to help himself, oxygen filled his lungs. And Connor's eyes flickered back to life. And he shares the story of that testimony. And do you know the imagery of that is the truth of that? The Valley of the Dry Bones is a picture in a state of despair, hopelessness, and a feeling of being spiritually dead. God desires to breathe afresh into us the fullness of all that God is, to revive our souls, to help us, to heal us, and to guide our paths. Breathing into our tired and weary and dry bones, perhaps reviving our cynicism into one of positivity. Don't become so used to your day-to-days that you forget about the awe and wonder of the God we sing about. The miracle-working God is a God that I serve today. Perhaps you need to consider, some of you, the child out where Jesus wants to lead you. I'm going to ask this: if you're a mature Christian, you've been going on with God, when was the last time you came out for prayer? Do you not need it? Or do you just think it's not for me anymore? Church, it is time to let go and to let God fill us afresh. The ruach, the breath of God, to prophesy to our dry bones, to speak life into them so they'll reassemble with flesh and skin and become full of life. Finally, in what we read right at the start, God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and they do come back to life and stand up as a vast army. You are God's vast army, not a spectator in this army, but a participant. As Ima leads us and the worship band help us, the front is open. I've got the anointing oil. Do you need to receive the ruach, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit? I'm suggesting you do. Now, I can just wait and I can just say to the band, and I'll come up again and encourage you again, or you can act on what you've heard this morning. I'm going to ask you to act, because if we are family, if we are truly here to take our coat off and spend time together, be hospitable and to be caring for each other, then we care for each other in these moments. And I'm saying the breath of God is here. God has given me this today for us today. So speak to my people. Tell them that I want to fill them afresh. Tell them I want them the best. I want the best for them and fill them with all that I am. They are my creation. They're my children. I love with them with a passion that will never ebb, never flow. It will be consistent throughout their lives. Who this morning needs a touch from God? Who wants to be filled afresh? Do not leave this place. Do not leave this place the same as you came in. Leave with the fullness of all God's got for you. And all God's people said, amen. Don't think it, do it.